Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The 1865 Match Report.
Hello there and welcome to 1865. We are bringing you a match report on today, a very happy day for the Reds as they went away to Blackpool and got a 4-1 victory. In a few minutes, we're going to hear from Adam, who's at the match. But before we do, let's just run through the team news. And there were a couple of changes into the first team, one of which was a surprise and one of which was maybe expected. So in goal, Brice Samba came in because Ethan Horvath had been away on international duty and had got back very late. That's also explained, according to Steve Cooper, why Richie Larrier was not in the squad. The big surprise, however, was after being told that he'd be out for 5 weeks, Scott McKenna was back in the team after missing precisely no league matches. And he came in to replace Joe Lolly, which meant the Forest could go back to their back three with Colback and Spence at wing-back, and then Zinkenagel behind Johnson and Davis up front. And then there was also another pleasant surprise, because on the bench, Lewis Graben, the skipper, was back in contention. Now, Adam, obviously it's quite an away day to go to Blackpool, a trip to the seaside for you today. You mentioned it was absolutely blooming freezing when you got there. But the match heated up quite quickly, didn't it? There's quite a physical start. The ref was letting things go fairly early on. And for those of us watching on telly, there was a bit of an early penalty shout, but we needed a replay to find out when Marvin Ekpeteta had put in a little challenge on Philip Zinkenagel. Did you see that? And what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so I was from sort of like the other side of the stand, and there was quite a faint shout from our side and quite a loud shout from the fans that were closer to it. I'm sure everyone that's watching at home would have been able to sort of shed some light on it a bit more for us. It did look like he played the ball and like it went through him but won the ball first and then sort of collided with him after. So obviously we were sort of assuming that was why it wasn't. But yeah, it was I think just touching on the ref there, and so I think there's a lot of people around me getting frustrated, but I actually think he did really well. He did let the game flow when he could. He's a really good ref, actually. He's the Australian, wasn't he? He obviously came over from the A-League in Australia, and I think he did really well today. But yeah, no, I think it was a fast, pacey start. We got amongst them, and I think a lot of people around me, before we scored the first goal, I think, was actually saying we didn't, it was very open. It was a very open game. Blackpool had some really big chances. So the first goal for us was vital, especially the time that we got it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will actually come back to talk about the ref a little bit later on. Broadly speaking, I agree with you. I thought you had a good match, but there's another talking point, I suppose. Yeah, like you said, it was both teams playing a high press. And so it was a relief when Forrest scored. Now, just from where I was watching on telly, like the ball pinged up and it went in slow motion after Philip Zinkenagel got into the box. What was it like for you?
It was exactly the same, honestly. It was, so obviously it's, as it's gone up, we've sort of, you know, almost sort of looked at it going, oh, it's going to go over. It looked like it was going over. The trajectory of the ball was like, oh, it's going over. And it kind of just dropped in, and there was almost like a surprised cheer from everybody. Like, oh, wait, it's gone in. Like, I can't believe it. Yeah. And it was good for Zinchenko because I think he struggled today. And I think the goal should give him a little bit of confidence going into the next game. Obviously, should he play against Coventry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a strange... I mean, certainly he'll have been having sleepless nights after the Liverpool match, won't he? So, okay, it's difficult to say whether the shot would have gone in anyway, but the deflection certainly helped it on its way. And Forest were a goal up after just 11 minutes. Now, I'm going to say that what you said about it being quite an open game, actually, the sort of the 10 minutes or so after Forest scored really epitomised that. I think it's a bit like a basketball game. It was going end to end, and the game was quite stretched a lot of times. Blackpool had an occasional sight of goal. So James Husband had a shot from distance, which blasted over. Keenan Davis had a bit of a sight of goal after Dan Grimshaw had made a bit of a boo-boo with trying to clear the ball, and Brendan Johnson had closed him down. That must have got the heart rates going up in the away end.
It was sort of a theme of the first half, really, wasn't it? I don't know a lot. I didn't know a lot about their goalkeeper going in, but distribution was lacking, to say the least. Obviously, when Brandon closes him down and stuff, I think a lot of us with Brandon was shouting, like, just shoot. Like, you've got the ball, you sit at your feet, just have a go. And obviously, sort of the chance went begging. And, you know, I think the goalkeeper definitely struggled first half. It gave us a lot of chances, but I think it also came a little bit from, we did press quite high. And I think being an open game can definitely suit Forest, because the way that we go forward in numbers, we go forward with pace, we get in behind Blackpool defence, which they just couldn't handle today. Davis obviously can holds the ball up. Brennan was running at them. Jed Spence obviously running at them. You know, Zinchenko was getting into that pocket as the number 10. I really think they struggled to managers in that first half, and I think that's obviously where the goals came from, really.
Yeah, and it's worth saying as well that Blackpool, they were doing their own attacking as well. So there was a moment where James Husband put a cross in, which was deflected away by Brees Sambo in the goal, and that led to another cross in, which Garam Madin got his head to, and luckily for us, he didn't really get any power on it, so it's easy for Sambo to gather. There was a short back header by Joe Worrell. It's slightly too casual there. And Samba had to stand up. I think it was Jerry Yates who fancied himself to get there. But Samba did really well because he was going to go and catch it. And then he actually just sort of stood up and sort of beat it away. So a little bit of a hairy moment. So in that sense, obviously, if you're 1-0 up away from home and the home team are attacking you, what you want to do, best response, get another goal. And what a goal it was. From Brennan Johnson.
Yeah, I think if we had gone in 1-0 at half time, even actually, funny enough, 1-1 at half time, I don't think many people could have a lot of complaint the way the game was panning on. The one with Samba, just to mention that, was terrifying. Because from where we, obviously, that was on our side. When he sort of stood up, it was hard to tell, like, sort of looking at why has he done that? But he's coming out, he's going to collect the ball. But obviously, that's the benefit of having the sky cameras and stuff. You can see it a couple of times. You can see, oh, actually, this is why he's done that. And Brennan's got, obviously, I haven't seen the goals back myself. Obviously, saw them at the ground there and then. But he just took it so well.
Yeah.
And I think that with the way he takes this goal is just a player with so much confidence. And why wouldn't he be? Like, that's the thing. He's got every right to be confident. He slams it home. And I think that it's a real testament, because I think there's been a lot of people, actually, believe it or not, around me at home games, sitting around me saying that Brennan's too in and out of games. You know, he doesn't have a good 90 minutes. He'll have a good 10 minutes. And in that 10 minutes, he'll get a goal or an assist, which I actually don't see as a bad thing at all. But that's different people's perspective on football, I suppose. But today I felt like he absolutely just terrorised them all that first half. He was unplayable. And the first goal and the second goal, he just took them both so brilliantly.
Yeah. So let's just talk through the second goal before we come on to the third goal, because they came within a few minutes of each other. And the thing that I liked about it was Forrest actually playing their way through the Blackpool team. So it was a throw in, which Jed Spence took. He did a 1-2 with Brennan. Then it went to Ryan Yates, who cut it back. It deflected slightly. But for those of you who haven't seen it yet, I actually think that he maybe isn't getting the credit he deserves, because it's such a true finish. He just hits straight through it across the goalkeeper, bottom corner, when it would have been very easy to shank it. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. But people on the radio in particular, Radio Nottingham, were going crazy about his second goal, which came from a mistake once again from that man, Dan Grimshaw, in goal.
Yeah, and I think it's testament to Ryan Yates with that one as well, that it's nice to see him in that position. It's nice to see that him and Garner are both not afraid to go and help out with the attack. And he's on the byline pulling the ball back, which Ryan Yates of a couple of years ago would be, you know, nosebleed territory for him. I think he'd struggle to be up there. So that was nice. But his next goal was outstanding. Obviously, the third goal for us, second goal for Brennan. It was such a good finish. And the way he gets it over and the keeper, and obviously, yeah, it's a mistake from him again, and he really did struggle in that first half. I think you could probably point to the fact that he was getting put under a lot of pressure. Sometimes, if I was a neutral watching that game, I would think defensively, you need to stop giving the ball back to him. You need to start going back to his feet. He's obviously not confident. You know, maybe just kind of look for a different out ball, because every time he's going to kick that ball in that first half, it was nervy, it was unconvincing. And I think that obviously it did lead to the goal, but yeah, what a finish. And I think it's just, I don't think that you can question Brennan's finishing ability. I think even when he's having a bad game, even when he's not, he's a little bit in and out of a game, I think he takes his chances so well. It's very rare that you see him miss, you know, a good chance, but he made this chance for himself, and, you know, and it was just such a terrific goal. And I think I'm running out of like words to describe Brennan Johnson, because he's just such a talented young man.
Yeah. And I guess to just kind of portray the other side. So as you mentioned, there's a few people who kind of said, well, Brennan looks a little bit off the boil. And personally, I thought he was a little bit knackered. So having gone away with Wales, I was a little bit concerned. He played most of the match the other night. But I think it seems to have rejuvenated him, given him a bit of a lift, having that kind of slight, maybe the change of scene and getting the confidence from playing for his country. And that thing you said about confident finishing, I guess the penalty miss at Sheffield United is the price to pay for the fact that he does things like the bit of magic when he received the ball from Grimshaw. So do you want to talk us through what you saw when Grimshaw made that dodgy kick?
It was almost as if he was like he was a shark circling around Grimshaw in the first half. It was as a Forest fan, it was great to see. But he picks up. It's actually, I think, with something that's really underrated about the goal is actually the control. Like, it's the way he controls that ball. He's coming in at pace and he controls it so well, and it shows obviously his technical ability and the way that he is on the ball as well. But yeah, he controls it, you know, finishes it off beautifully and almost never in doubt either. And I think you mentioned it's a good point about him being looking a bit tired and stuff. He is 20 years old. And I think this is something that we maybe put unfair expectations on young players nowadays, where it's like, oh, you know, but if you're old enough, you're good enough. And, you know, that's completely true. But at 20 years old, he's got his strength, his conditioning, all that sort of stuff, where you're not going to be at the level of maybe a seasoned pro who's 27, 28, who's been there, done that, been a footballer for a longer period of time. So when you have a player that young, sometimes you might have to pull them out slightly, take them out of the limelight for a game, put them back in. But I don't think Steve Cooper's got the luxury of doing that with Johnson at the moment, because you can't take him out. He's just electric.
Look, there's more to life than stats, but stats are important and data is important in modern football. And Brennan Johnson has got 20 goal involvements. He scored 13 goals and got 7 assists, which is the most of any player under 21 in the Premier League and EFL by quite a long way as well. So Bukayo Saka's next. Now, obviously, he's playing at a different level, but everyone's raving, and quite rightly, about Fabio Carvalho at Fulham. But he's in a team full of Premier League talent. He's got Mitrovic playing ahead of him. And he's on 13 goal involvements. Brennan's on 20. So I think that tells you a huge amount about why Brennan has to be involved every week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that obviously Carvalho is a couple of years younger than Brennan, but obviously Brennan did have last season with Lincoln where, you know, he went and played in League One, which is different. It's a difficult league to play in. It's really physical. And I really think it's been the making of him going, sending him out on loan to Lincoln. They did a great job with him. He played in a really, really attractive style football under Appleton at Lincoln. And I think that's really, really benefited him coming back into the Forest fold. And it never felt like when he came back in and when we started going through the season, it never felt like he wasn't going to play. It did always feel like he was one of the first names on the team sheet. So it's great to see him play so well for us. I think I've seen some quite major kind of like YouTubers or influencers or whatever post stats about Brennan Johnson now. And I'm like, he's getting a lot of attention from a lot of mainstream media. And I think that obviously Brentford were interested. I think if we don't go up, I think Brentford has struggled to get him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to go to a team that are struggling towards the bottom in the Premier League. I think he's going to go to a team that can really develop him into a, you know, what I believe he can be, which is a top six Premier League player.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, those are setting big expectations, but I think that he's shown, both in terms of his physical and his mental performances, and obviously having a dad who's experienced playing at the top level and a huge amount of championship football, I think those are all really, really positive things for Brennan in his career. And of course, the best chance that Forest have of keeping him is to be competitive and hopefully get promoted. And so therefore, going in at half-time 3-0 up against a potential playoff rival in half bad.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We had an early penalty shout in the first half, and Blackpool had an early penalty shout in the second half when Jerry Yates was challenged in the box by Scott McKenna. And I have to say, that falls into the category of I've seen them given.
The Blackpool one, from where I was, I thought was a nailed-on penalty. I mean, I'm quite far away from where it was, but it looked like it, and I thought, yeah, he's going to blow his whistle there. Well, he didn't, I thought, I think we've got away with one there.
Yeah.
It is hard to tell, but I think we've got away with that one.
Okay. So as someone who's watching it on telly, what I'd say with both the challenge by Ekpeteta on Zinc in the first half and McKenna on Yates in the second half, in real time, I thought, meh. And when I saw the replays, I thought, whoa. So if that is an oral representation of how I thought those went. Let's come back to the action because, yeah, Blackpool did try and come at us. And then Forrest had a chance when Keenan Davis managed to put a pass through for Philip Zinkernagel. And having said he'll have lost a bit of sleep after the Liverpool match, he had another moment here, didn't he?
He did. I want to highlight with this one, though, the work that James Garner's done before, because when the ball's come over, he's actually headed it into Davis's pass, and it was fantastic ball into Davis, and obviously Davis has then obviously rolled it into Zinc. Like, I know it was a corner, so I'm assuming that based on that, it was the goalkeeper's got a touch to it,
yeah.
But the goalkeeper shouldn't be part of the equation. Mm-hmm. You throw on goal, you've got to score. Seems with Zinkernagel in a way, he would rather be on the edge of the box. He seems to score the harder chances. I'm thinking back to his goal against Swansea, for example, which was also 4-1 in the same kit, which was funny. That wasn't an easy chance, but he's hammered that home. This one, he's 1-1 with the goalkeeper. He has to score. And I think that if it was the other way around, if it was Zinkernagel through to Davis, I think Davis would still score. And I think my biggest criticism of Zinkernagel is that I think he was fantastic during the start of the season. I don't feel as if he's very consistent. I do like him. I think he's a good player. It does frustrate me massively, especially with stuff like this.
Yeah. What I've noticed as well, maybe it's a confidence thing, maybe it's a fatigue thing, but he seems to be wanting to take extra touches now rather than keeping the ball moving quickly. And so, like you say, if it'd been the other way around, or it'd been Brennan who'd been put through by Keenan in this instance, there would have been an instinctive first-time finish rather than trying to find the angle and therefore allowing the keeper to get that extra second. Davis and Johnson were sacrificed on 65 minutes, and we saw Sam Surridge come on, expected, but we also saw Lewis Graben come back. How did that feel?
It was great. He got a great reception as well. Obviously, club captain coming back. A lot of people have actually said they're not sure how he's going to get back in the side. Obviously, with Davis being fantastic, Surridge being... I mean, I saw Steyer, he's got three goals in 350 minutes or 250 minutes or something like that. It's insane. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really hard for Graben to come in and actually start games. But I think before he got injured, he was starting games with Davis. So we'd have to see how it goes. But it was a great reception for Lewis when he came on. He deserves that. He's a model professional. He's been helping Keenan. Obviously, Keenan Davis saying in his interviews that Grabs has been helping him out a lot, and you know that's what he should be doing as a veteran of the club and the club captain. It's what he should be doing. And Surridge is he just really, really excites me as a player. He's a grafter. You know, he came on, he ran his socks off. I think he just gave them such a hard time, Blackpool as well. He's hard to deal with because he's big, but he's also really quick.
Yeah,
he's a really hard player to deal with, and obviously, he would probably come on to his goal, but the way he took his goal was just a player that oozes confidence. Like it was a really good finish.
Yeah, and not for the first time this season. We're saying, can you imagine if you're an opposition defender and you've been grappling with Keenan all this time, and then he goes off and you get another player on who's strong, quick, but also he's got an eye for a finish in a way that Keenan probably hasn't really. Let's talk about that goal, because there's an interception by Scotty McKenna. He had a little run out and then he played a through ball, which turned out to be the weight on it, whether how deliberate this was, I don't know, but the weight on it and the first touch by Surridge was outstanding, and the finish was nothing short of emphatic, was it?
McKenna stepping out of the line is something that he does a lot, and he's so good at it. He's so unbelievably good at it. I mean, the amount of times you saw him in that second half playing left wing, and you're like, you know, when obviously the situation where he got fouled and, you know, he went down just outside the box and stuff, and you're thinking, why are you there? Like, it blows my mind. But yeah, it's a good ball through. I think he meant it. I think it was perfectly weighted. I hope anyway. I'm sure he would say it was, and it was. But, I think with a striker, you always say that when you first touch to put you into the position to shoot, and then you want your second touch to be a goal. And goes across the goalkeeper, hammers it into the far corner, and I don't think anyone was in doubt because he has got that. He's just such a good finisher. Like, Cooper just instills confidence in these players, and you can see them playing with it.
Yeah. Yeah, Stoke fans will be wondering, you know, is that really the same player that we had for 6 months? But you're right, Cooper, he knows how to work with players, and that's massively important. Now, just quickly, blot on the landscape from this match was that Blackpool did get what turned out to be a consolation goal. Joe Lolley had come on 73 minutes for Zinc, and actually it was down to him having a bit of a rash tackle on the halfway line, which he got booked for, and rightly so. And Blackpool floated the ball in, and Callum Connolly was at the back post, and he just sort of poked it home. Also worth pointing out that Blackpool were down to 10 men at this point because they'd made all three subs, and then Dujon Sterling got injured. So a bit of a blot on the landscape.
It was a bit frustrating to concede the goal. Scrappy goal as well. But I think they probably deserved a goal out of the game. I mean, they had a lot of chances. You know, they missed some gilt-edged chances. They probably did deserve a goal out of the second half. But, I mean, on a Blackpool perspective, to be fair, I do just want to point out Josh Bowler. He is fantastic. I think watching him today, it was like I've sat there thinking, I'm gutted that we didn't sign him, because he was brilliant. The way he turned, played inside and out. He did get Blackpool's man of the match. No, he's going to be some player.
Yeah.
He really is.
And it's worth pointing out as well that actually Jack Colback, makeshift left wing back, did an excellent job of marshalling him, because it sounds really obvious, but you know that with Bowler, you've got to keep him on his right foot. And the only decent cross he managed to get in was with his standing foot, because Forrest kept closing him down when he tried to cut in onto his left across it. He did have a few opportunities on goal, but didn't really manage to make the most of those. But as I say, he's obviously a very good player. Talking about Blackpool's performance, Neil Critchley said, "I've not seen the stats yet, but I reckon there'll not be a lot in that game. We weren't second best, only in moments. Every time Forrest got into our penalty area, they scored. They had a bit of luck." And it's a bit of a strange one. From my perspective, when I was watching this match, I was reminded of when Fulham came to the City Ground earlier this season. And you just thought, well, you know what? Forrest weren't terrible on that day. It's just that Fulham were like two levels above. And I think that this match was fairly similar. I think that Blackpool can probably say, well, we didn't play that badly, but Forrest just had that killer instinct. We were able to put the game to bed and then manage it. What do you think?
Yeah, I saw something about this comment after the game. I don't agree with him personally. I think that you can define anything in football like that. Oh, it's like the Frank Lampard interview after he got beat by Crystal Palace, where he explained all four goals. Ultimately, you conceded four goals. It's what you do with it. It's how clinical you are, and it's how ruthless you are. And today, we were completely ruthless. And I do think we're still the better side. I think they were massively second best. But, you know, he is going to say that in a way, and he is going to defend his players. And he's a terrific manager, and he's done a brilliant job this season with Blackpool. But I can't really agree with him here that he doesn't think that they were second best, because they emphatically were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've mentioned Critchley, and I just want to move on to Steve Cooper, but with a specific intent, which is we said we'd come back to the ref, and you and I thought the ref was really good. I thought that what was really impressive about the ref, who was Jared Gillick, I've looked up his name since we talked about him earlier, he let a lot of physical stuff go, but he was very consistent with it. It was obvious he's obviously set a bar and stuck to it. So the only two bookings he couldn't avoid giving, and that one was for Lolly, and then there's another one for handball to a Blackpool player. And I thought he was really, really consistent. He gave the benefit of the doubt on a lot of things, and I thought that was really positive. Steve Cooper did actually mention the ref in his interview with Radio Nottingham and said, "I felt that their players were fouling our defenders most of the way through the first half." And that's an interesting one, because Scott McKenna is the other talking point, who came back when he wasn't supposed to be. And he had loads of real wrestling matches with Gary Medine in that first half. And I thought a few times he's probably crossing the line. Are you surprised at Cooper's comments?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I think that I do get where he's coming from, but Gary Medine is a very physical striker. He's always played the same way. And there's nothing wrong with being a physical striker that puts yourself about. You know, against somebody like Scott McKenna, who, you know, is a big lad himself, against Joe Worrell, you know, against Toby and, you know, the big centre-half. Like, I don't know what you'd expect Gary Medine to do. He's obviously going to back in. He's obviously going to put himself about. And it doesn't surprise me that that's the way he played. I don't overly think that our defenders are being fouled more, not to the point where I've noticed it and thought they're really fouling our defenders. They did push high a few times, and they may have, you know, clipped the defenders, like, whatever. But I think, as Gary Medine just putting himself about, I mean, that's expected of him. But Scott McKenna, and this probably comes on to a wider point, that I know that Cooper is doing this on purpose. I think he does it. He definitely does it. I mean, he must be doing it on purpose. This player's going to be out for 6 weeks. 2 weeks later, he's back. Okay. It's a good way of, I suppose, with Gravin, it was actually quite a while, but I suppose it's a good way of that team planning for something else, because Blackpool today probably planned for a back four, mm-hmm. in the same way that we put the team out today on the Twitter page, and it was a back four, because a back four is probably what we thought. I mean, that's what we were talking about in the pub before the game. And then, surprise, McKenna's back. It's a back three. And instantly that brings you confidence.
Yeah. 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 The mood really, really changes when you've got, yeah, you know, you've got that balance in the back three. And as I commented when I put our predicted team out there, one of the things is that actually, I've got every confidence in the back four as they played so well against Liverpool. However, on the other hand, Forest 3-4-1-2, as they usually play, just seems to get the best out of the team. And Cooper knows what he's doing. Just very briefly, you'd mentioned Toby Figueiredo. I want to give him a shout out because I thought he was also excellent today. I'm just going to say a little bit about the table. The victory took us briefly up to fifth in the table. As of the 3 o'clock kickoffs, we are now down to seventh. We're on 61 points with 37 matches played. If we win those games in hand, then that would take us to third. But I mean, what's important there, Adam, is not necessarily that if we win those games. I think what's important about today's game is it was a statement victory. What would you think?
We said that after the game, walking out the ground, that Blackpool, they do well at home. They're not, you know, they're not fighting relegation at one point. And the reason Josh Bowler stayed with them is because they were looking like they were going to push for the playoffs. So to go there and to do that to them, I think shows how good of a side we are. On Sky Sports and the early kickoff, every team around the country watching it pre-match before they go to their game at 3 o'clock, probably thinking, well, we don't want to play them in the playoffs. Like, we shouldn't look at the table too much at the moment. It's very frustrating as a football fan in probably any division at the moment with these games in hand, because you're trying to work it out in your head. You're like, well, if we do this, if we do this, if we do this. Whereas normally, where you are in the table is just where you are in the table. You might have one game in hand, but you don't have three games in hand or two games in hand. But come the end of the season, we'll be in the top six. And I actually would confidently say I think we'll be third.
Mm. And what's interesting there, yeah, I completely agree, is that positions in the league table, probably not so important. But what might be crucial is that points per game ratio. And as you pointed out in our WhatsApp group, since Steve Cooper's taken over, 2 points per game, which is just incredible, isn't it?
It is. And hindsight is a wonderful thing. But I don't know about you, but I do sit there sometimes thinking to myself, if Steve Cooper came in at the start of the season, we'd be fighting for the top two. A couple of games earlier, then Cooper comes in and, you know, revolutionises for everything. But I don't think any of us expected it to this level anyway.
Mm. And not for the first time this season, we're using the phrase the Steve Cooper revolution. So we'll leave it at that for today. We'll be back with a match report after the game against Coventry. I want to say thank you very much for Adam for basically getting online as soon as he got back in from an arduous journey back from the seaside. And thank you to you also, listener.
Sports Social Podcast Network.